First Corinthians chapter number 11. Continuing on the home tonight, and probably going to be kind of brief this evening because the next part that I'm going to start on is the last point before we move on to the wives, but it's kind of lengthy. So, all right, First Corinthians chapter number 11. We're going. Been dealing with the home, the divine pattern for the husband, the husband's responsibility in the home. We've covered a lot of things over the past however long we've been dealing with this subject, but all of it rises and falls on the husband's obedience to the Lord and his role he takes in the house. And the one we're going to look at tonight for just a few minutes is the husband is the wife's head. The husband is the wife's head. So 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "But I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God." So the husband's role in this home is to provide the headship. And under that headship is the heading of all the things we've been talking about, the protection and all those things and understanding his wife and all the things that we've been covering. But he is the head of his wife. Now, there's a lot of ladies in our society today that do not like that at all. They do not like the idea of a man being over them, period. But that is unscriptural. And if she is in a position where she doesn't like that, she does not want a man to be over her, she's not right with God. And that is not popular in today's society at all, but that's, you know, scripture. And so we have a situation today where the home is completely backwards and messed up. I mean, everywhere you go, I've given the illustration before, just go to Walmart, any Walmart. I'm not going to pick on the Summerton Walmart and meeting your mate there anymore because that backfired on me. But just go anywhere and just watch people. My wife gets on to me for watching people, but I watch people sometimes. But just watch them. And I've given the illustration before that you go into somewhere and a child acts out in public, and that man in the house will get on to the child, and the wife will get on to the man for getting on to the child. The whole thing is just backwards. It's all messed up. And if that's going on in front of a bunch of people out in public, what's going on in the house? Amen? But at the end of the day, the man is responsible for what for all that taking place. He's the one that's going to have to give an account to God for it. And this is why it's very vitally important for you to marry the right person to start off with and make sure you're on the same page with what God says the home ought to be. That's why it's very important. But a lot of ladies in today's society, they do not like that. And they don't want to humble themselves under the authority of a man. But if you don't want to humble yourself under the authority of a man, then you're saying that you do not want to humble yourself under the authority of God, because those instructions are in his word. 1 Peter 5:6 talks about us humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God. And this book that we have, Brother Brian just taught out of Proverbs and the wisdom. This book is our authority. We're King James Bible believers for a reason, because we believe that this Bible is our final authority. And we submit ourselves and our church is subject unto this book. And that's why we don't have any other Bible versions. We believe this is the final authority. If you've got other Bible versions, then you pick and choose which one you want to believe, and now you're the authority. Amen. We're set apart from a lot of other so-called Christians because we say this book is our authority. In this book, the Bible talks about the Bible and being Jesus Christ. You know, that's what we have to hold in our hands, and he gives us these instructions, and we submit ourselves in the fear of God, and we do those things, and the man is supposed to be subject to Christ, and the woman under the man, and he gives us the instructions here, but the husband is to be his wife's head. Now, contrary to a lot of belief, the husband did not ask God for this authority. Amen? I mean, he didn't. I realize there's bad cases where people take their authority and they take it too far, and I'm going to cover some of that. And I'm telling you, you do not want to be a man that abuses your authority that God gave you. Why? Because you're under somebody, big boy. And I would much rather be in a position of a wife that has a husband that maybe is not doing what he's supposed to do than rather be a husband that's in position where Christ is the one that's going to deal with it. Yeah. Amen? And so you are under the authority of Jesus Christ, but the husband did not ask God for that authority. Go all the way back in the very beginning, I didn't see Adam say, all right, God, you gave me Eve. Would you please put me in charge of this woman? Amen? He didn't do it. He didn't do it, but that's a God-ordained position that he's given the man. He did not ask anybody's permission to do that. Amen? That's just a position that God gave. And here we see that here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 in verse number 3. But I will have you to know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Even Jesus Christ himself humbled himself, and he put himself into submission to God the Father. He's an illustration for us in that aspect. And so he placed himself there. The head of Christ is God. The head of every man is Christ. The head of the woman is the man. God has placed every woman under the headship of a man. Throughout the entire Bible, that's the way it is. She's either under the headship of her father or under the headship of her husband. And if neither one of those is in place, go study 1 Timothy chapter 5. She's under the headship of the church and of the pastor. If she's a widow indeed, you can go study that out. And so at any time, and those things are set into place. They're set into place there for protection. God, we've already covered some of these verses, so we're not going to go over them for sake of time. But God told Eve that she was the weaker vessel, right? And so she was the weaker vessel, and God gave great instructions to a man to take on that responsibility. And so, husband, we have a great responsibility to be the head of the house, to be the head of the wife and the head of the children. Now, if a wife refuses to follow the leadership of the one that God has made her head, that could be a father, that could be a husband. If she refuses to do that, she is asking for heartache and pain. She is asking for trouble. I'm not talking about physically. I don't know how God's going to handle it, but she's asking for trouble. Just as the man that will not submit himself to Christ is asking for heartache and trouble. Amen. There's a lot of people that are in, again, you got to justify everything you're saying, but there's a lot of so-called Christians today that are on all kind of medication to help deal with things, where if they would just find their place in Jesus Christ and submit to it, they would be a whole lot happier and they would have a whole lot more peace and joy if they would just fall in line where God would have them to be and just be who God made them to be and have a home that God is pleased with. But instead, if we don't find ourselves falling in place, men, women, children, everybody, if we don't find ourselves where we're supposed to be, you're going to be miserable. As a child of God, you're going to be miserable. And then if you're not saved, you're going to be triple the amount or quadruple the amount miserable because you don't have Christ to help you through what you're going through. Amen? And so these are problems that society faces and marriages and families face today. One of the major problems is people do not know their place. It's the same thing in a church, where when people step out of their place and they try to assert authority in different areas, things go badly. They go badly. You say, what do I do? I've been saying the whole time since we started this study, you do what's right before God and you pray that God will handle the situation. You do that. You pray. You say, man, my wife's not doing what she's supposed to. And at the end of the day, you're going to give an account for that, men. We're going to give an account for it, even if she's not. But you need to set things in place in your house and you need to pray. Say, God, please, I'm doing the best I can here. As long as he knows that you're doing right and he'll help you. Same thing with him. He's not doing what he's supposed to do. Something at church or whatever the case might be, you pray. Let God deal with it, and God will deal with it. God has a way of dealing with it. And I'm telling you what, if we rebel against this authority, we don't want it being dealt with by God. Amen. It's a lot easier to have a conversation between a husband and wife, say, hey, there's some things I'm not doing right. There's some things I'm not doing right. We need to try to get this fixed and we need to pray. That's a whole lot easier solution than for God to have to deal with it. And a lot of times it ends up in rebellion, it ends up in pride, and it ends up falling completely apart because God's not a part of it. And so we all have to find our place. We're asking for trouble. But if a wife or husband will humble themselves and accept God's way and their place in the marriage and in the home, in return, you're going to be blessed. God will bless your home and he'll bless your obedience to him. Turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. I know what I'm teaching on most Wednesday nights is not popular at all. Is not popular at all. But we want to be a church that please, and we're not perfect. Nobody here is perfect. I've said this before. If you ever find a perfect church and move there, more than likely it won't be perfect anymore when you show up. It won't be when I show up. I know that. Amen. And so and we know who we are. We're a bunch of sinners saved by the grace of God. And we're not any better than anybody else. We're not. We tell them ladies down at Teen Challenger, somebody might come in here and maybe they don't look the same way you do or act the same way you do and all those things. And it's but by the grace of God that he straightened your life out. Amen. We're not any better. We're sinners saved by the grace of God just like they need to be saved or if they are saved. And maybe God's been working on you a little bit longer than they've been working on them. Amen. If they stay with it, God'll get around to them too. Amen. And so we can't ever be lifted up in pride in this matter if you think you've got it figured out, because none of us have it figured out completely. We won't have it figured out till we get our new body, amen? Have the complete mind of Christ when we get to heaven. And so we need to fall in line there. So the Bible says here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, along these same lines that we just read, Ephesians 5, 23 says, "For the husband is the head of the wife." And get this right here. "Even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the savior of the body. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as," emphasis on that, "even as Christ is the head of the church." Let me ask you a question, church. Does the church always do what Jesus says? Group participation. No, absolutely not. Amen. We try to. We do. I mean, but I'm sure there's areas we fall, and there's a whole lot of churches that don't care what Jesus says, and they're going to do whatever they... No, the church does not always do what Jesus says. Does it get into trouble with the Lord when it does not do what he says? Yes. Amen. The Lord love, he chasteneth whom he loveth. Amen. That's how you know, one of the ways you know you're saved. You get chased when you do wrong. Amen. Thank God for it. And it's the same way with a wife and a husband. In your relationship with Christ and her relationship with a husband, they don't always do what they're supposed to do. But God expects the husband to take the initiative in every single thing pertaining to his wife in that home. God's placed that responsibility on the husband in every aspect of the home. And I realize there's some that might delegate certain things. And then my wife homeschools the children. I could not. I don't think I could do that. Amen. I got a lot of respect for Brother Johnny. I know he does it some with it, helps his wife out with that. And man, I've tried to a few times and I want to strangle him. Amen. But God's given her the patience to do that. And I'm thankful for that. But you know what? At the end of the day, it's my responsibility what they learn. I'm going to have to give an account to God for that. It's my responsibility to do that. And so we have to take the initiative in everything when it comes to that home. We have to, God expects for us to be the leader of our home. He laid it out in Scripture. He said, Christ is the head of the church and the husband is the head of the wife. He's expecting you to lead your home in all matters, spiritually and physically. We've covered a lot of things in this study, and Jesus Christ is expecting us to lead our home in those ways. He expects us to be the leader. Jesus takes the initiative in our lives, does he not? Amen. What does the Bible say in 1 John 4:19? We love him because what? Because he first loved us. The Bible says there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ. He's our example. And he loved us first. We love him because he first loved us. The church, if you're saved, you love him because of what he's done for us. I mean, he came and he was born of a virgin. He lived on this life. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He died on the old rugged cross. He took the scourges and the beatings, and he did all that for us to save us from hell. And we say, Lord, thank you so much for what you did for us. And our appreciation for what he's done for us, and because he first loved us, we don't mind as a Bible believer to submit ourselves to him and say, yes, Lord, I'll obey you. I'll dress right and live right, and I will withhold the highest standard in my home for your honor and your glory. Not because of who I am, but because of who you are. We'll be glad to represent you that way because you've asked us to. And we submit ourselves to that. In the same way with a husband and wife, the husband ought to demonstrate his love to his wife in such a way and leading that she does not have a problem submitting to him. Now, we're going to get on a lot more of this on the wife side of it here before too long, but we're still dealing with the husbands and the fact that we have a great responsibility to lead our home. And we ought to love, and we've went over some of that stuff, and we've ought to protect and do all those things that the husband ought to do. But we should do those things and demonstrate through our leadership that we love our wives. Amen. There's certain decisions you make for your kids. You say, I do not want you watching that, or I do not want you going there. I do not want you doing this. And you do that because you love them, right? That's why you ought to do it. Some people make decisions for their kids, and in the back of my mind, I said, they don't really love their kids. Why would you let your kid do that? If you really loved them, why would you let them do that? Why would you open them up to danger, either physically or spiritually? Amen? And you say, well, man, I didn't think about it that way. You realize every time you turn on the television and your kids are sitting in the room, you're opening them up to something. You better know what's on there. You're opening them up to danger, and you have to be very careful with that thing. Headship in a home, being the leader of the home, every man is the head of his home and the head of his wife. That does not mean that you're the boss and she's the employee. Amen? That does not mean that you're the one that has her punch a time card. Amen? And it's not a boss, it's not a master-servant relationship. Amen? And so it has nothing to do with being a tyrant. A true biblical leader, or a true biblical headship, is one that leads his family. He leads them spiritually. Now, if somebody gets up and says, hey, do this, do this, do this, and they don't ever do it, all they're doing is barking off orders. But if you can tell your family, as we talked about last week, I want my family to do this, and I'm doing it too. I want y'all to follow me. Amen? I want to be the leader. I want to be the head of my home. I'm going to be the leader of my home. I say we're going to go to church and be faithful at church. I'm going to be there and be faithful at church. I say that we're going to read our Bible every night. I'm going to make sure that I'm reading the Bible. I'm leading. We need to pray. I'm going to make sure I'm praying. I'm going to lead my family and be the head of my home in that way. That's what God would have us to do. This thing of headship, it doesn't have anything to do with pride or haughtiness. Or saying, bless God, God made me the leader. Amen. That's a dangerous place to be in, if you really think about it. Because your wife's under you. And I realize I'm over 300 pounds. I'm a big man. Amen. But there's an even bigger God that's over me. And that's a fearful thing. What does the Bible say? Was it... Where's that? Hebrews 10:31, for it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Amen. And so, husband, that position of headship is not one of pride and haughtiness. It's not one of a tyrant. And God doesn't rule over us that way. And I'm thankful for it. He doesn't. He doesn't rule over us that way. He gets serious with us when he needs to. But he's not a tyrant. Headship should be approached with humility and fearfulness before God. Whether a man has a wife and no children or a wife and 10 children, he's responsible for every single soul in that house. You realize, dads in here, men, if you have children, whether or not they get saved, I know that's between them and God. I understand that. But you have to give an account for that. You have to give an account for your wife and your children. You say, well, they turned out, you know, what? However, you're going to give an account for how you raised them. And I understand they get to a certain age and they're going to make their own decision. That's between them and God when they get out of the house. I understand that. But where you make the mistake is when you let them make their own decisions while they're still at the house. Amen? When you let them start making all the decisions and what they're going to watch and what they're going to do and all those kind of things. I've seen 9 and 10-year-olds with signs on their the door that says private, keep out. Amen. There, our house growing up, there never was a closed door. And if it was locked, it got kicked in. That was my dad's house. Wasn't my house. Amen. I was 17. I was 18 years old, and he was telling me what girl I could talk to and who not. And he's like, "You still live here, amen." And he did those things, but you know why? Because he understood that he has to give an account to God. He has to answer to God for everything that goes for every soul that's in that house. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:17, it talks about the pastor and the church, how that we're responsible to give an account for the souls, and we're to watch over the souls in the church. And if you're a man in your house, you're essentially the pastor, the priest of your house, and you're responsible for the souls in your house. What does that mean? It means you lead your home spiritually. You lead them physically. You make sure you know what's going on and who they're talking to and who their friends are and what they're watching. Every aspect of the house, it's your responsibility. You will give an account to God for each family member, just as a pastor will give a congregation account for a congregation. The husband's going to give an account for his wife's spirituality, for his children's spirituality. How spiritual are they? Amen. The husband's going to give an account for that. And again, you're going to set the tone of spirituality in your house. And sometimes those are hard conversations if you haven't started out that way. And that's why I preach the way I do to the young people, to these boys that are here that are not married yet, and to even the little ones when they're in here. Man, we're trying to instill in them, man, marry somebody that not only loves, that's not only saved and loves God, that believes the same way you do. Amen. Make sure you're on the same page. And some people didn't start out that way. And those are hard conversations to have when you got to sit down with your spouse that you've been living with for a few years or several years and say, hey, there's a few things we're not doing right that's pleasing to God, and we want to make this thing right. And not all the time are both parties like, yay, let's do this. Amen. But you need to do what's right. Amen. And the party that chooses not to do right is the one that God's going to have to deal with. Amen. But you know how many men today are sitting at home tonight and not in church because of their wives? There's a lot, not just in this church, but in a lot of churches. There's men that are sitting at home tonight because of their wives. And they were not able to take a stand and say, hey, we're going to do right and we're going to live right. Amen. It don't matter that you don't like it. We're going to try to please God. And that's a hard conversation to have. But husband, we're gonna give an account for that. And there's a few families, you know, that I know of personally, that's the situation. And their children are not in church. Their young children are not in church. They have no spiritual influence. And you know they're not reading their Bible and praying at home. They can say, well, you know, well, we have church at home. What are you doing, watching Joel Osteen? That's not going to get you anywhere. Amen. It's not going to get you absolutely anywhere. They have no influence at all. And so you know what that means? Those kids, if the Lord tarries and spares them, they're going to grow up and they're going to have kids. And some of those kids might be saved because of the little influence they did have. And thank God for it. but they have no spiritual influence in their life. They're going to grow up. They're going to have kids, and those kids will never know who God is. And it all goes back. And you know what? That man, whether he realizes it or not, is going to stand before God, and he's going to have to give an account for his children and grandchildren. They end up dying. That's a lot to have on your hands when you're standing before the Lord for your children and your grandchildren. Say, God, I'm sorry, but I couldn't deal with it. Amen. And again, I know not every home starts off right on the right foot. A lot of them don't. Those are hard conversations to have, but you pray. Man, I tell you what, we serve a big God. And I've seen God save people, and I've seen God do things that me personally, I didn't see how I was ever going to get done. It had to have been God, and he did it. Amen? It had to have been God. I've seen it in my family. I've seen it in other families where, man, you just say, man, I don't think that guy will ever get saved. And next thing you know, he's saved and he's in church and he's doing stuff and he's helping. And you're like, man, we serve a big God. So what are you getting at, Brother Andrew? I'm getting at if you try to have that family that pleases God and you do the best you can and give it to God, pray that God will deal with them. And let me say this, when God is dealing with them, it's not always going to be easy around the house because there's going to be some resistance because they're fighting against you and God. It's not just you. Amen. They're battling with the Lord. They're battling conviction. And so they're going to be irritable and upset, and that's going to cause fight. We said, what do? You just stay right with God and keep asking God to help. Amen. You must always do right, but you have to do right for your wife, your children. You're going to give an account whether your children got saved, whether they didn't get saved, your wife's spirituality, your children's spirituality. You have to give an account for everything. You have to give an account for the standards in your home or the lack of the standards in your home. If there's certain music allowed in your house because your kids like it or your wife likes it, husband, you're going to give an account to God for those things. The dress standards, all those things. Husband, you're going to give an account. And I'm trying to get everyone to see tonight, all the men, we're still talking to the men. We have a great responsibility. And these young men that are not married yet, Trapper, I'm telling you, you got a great responsibility ahead of you. It's very important. Amen. And so it needs to be bathed in prayer and make sure that God is in it. Make sure that God is in it all the way, not just partially. So we're going to give an account for all those things. I've heard a lot of parents deal with their children when it comes to standards, when it comes to whether or not the girls are going to wear tight pants and shorts and whatever the case might be. They'll not tell their children either way. They'll say, I'm going to leave it up to them when they're old enough to decide. Well, you do that, and a lot of times they're going to make the wrong decision. Amen. A lot of times they're going to make the wrong decision. They're going to date the wrong people. They're going to wear the wrong things. They're going to wear the wrong clothes. God gave them to you to raise, to discipline, to train up a child. You say, when does that training end? I guess when they leave your house. Amen. That's when the training ends. You have that responsibility. They're under your headship. And the husband is supposed to be the head of the home. Any child left to himself will bring his mother to what? Shame. I've seen it time and time and time and time and time again. Will bring his mother to shame. The Bible says in Psalms 86:11, teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. So what are you getting at? Teach me thy way, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Teach your children, your wife, your home, the ways of the Lord. And say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen. Psalms 34:11, come ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. They need to know. They need to know what the Bible says. They need to understand those things. The husband's going to answer for each one of his family members and how they stand before God. And I'm telling you what, husband, that ought to be a humiliating thing to us. It ought to be a humbling thing. So we're going to give a response. That's a very, very, very heavy responsibility. to stand up and give an account. And it's not easy. Nope. God never promised it would be easy. Now, you can make it a whole lot easier, those that are not married, by getting on the right foot. It'll make it a whole lot easier. I appreciate my wife, and she's a good wife. She's a submissive wife. We discussed every bit of this before we ever got married. We discussed all of it, how we're going to raise children, what we're going to do. And we were both raised the same. We were on the same page, and I'm thankful for it. Amen. When it comes to how are we going to discipline children? We're going to do it scripturally. What does the scripture say? Well, let's read it. Are you okay with that? Yeah, I'm good with that. That's what we need to do. Amen. And I believe God has blessed it. And I realize not everybody's in that same boat. You say, what do I do? You pick up where you're at. You try to make things right with God and move forward. You say, I make mistakes. Well, everybody's made mistakes. You could talk to the ones that have been married the longest in here. Amen. That their brother Noah married. But you could talk to them and they'll say, hey, there's been mistakes made. But the times that we were in united with God were the times that were okay. Why? Because God took care of the thing. I'm gonna draw something here. I don't even know if you can see it. Drawing a triangle here. All right, so you've probably seen this before. A triangle with God at the top, and here's the husband, and here's the wife. No matter how hard they try to get closer to each other, they can't unless they get closer to God. You see that? I know that's just a simple illustration. God's up here. God wants you to be unified. No matter how hard they try to get closer to each other, they cannot unless they both get closer to God. And in this illustration, if one of them gets close to God and the other one stays where they're at, they're further apart. And that's a lot of homes. A lot of homes are this right here because God's nowhere in the mix. But the closer you both get to God with your personal walk with Him and trying to obey Him, the closer you will get to one another. When you can serve God together and be in this thing together, man, what a precious thing to serve God together. I'm serving God with my wife, serving God with my children. We're in this thing together. Nobody's kicking against the pricks, amen. Nobody's kicking against conviction. And so you say, well, my home's not there. Man, I'm telling you, God can do it. Pray. Pray together. Get with God and let Him do something in your home. Next week, I'm going to talk, it'll be 2 weeks. I'm going to get back on the subject. And this is the last point I have for the husbands, and then we're moving on to the wives. So wives, don't lay out of church when we start back. The last one I'm going to go over for the husbands, and it's going to take a while. So I'm not going to tell you when I finish. I'll just start on the wives one night and surprise you. The last one we're going to cover is the husband is to dwell with his wife according to knowledge. And that one's going to take a few weeks to go through. All right, let's all stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for loving us. God, we thank you for being a great God and a great Savior to us, Lord. Father, as I said earlier, I'm very thankful, Lord, for your long-suffering, your forgiveness, your kindness. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would please strengthen the homes of our church. Lord, I pray you continue to strengthen my home. And Lord, I know we fail you, Lord. And God, there's things that we need to do better. And Father, I pray you'd help us, God. Convict us where we do wrong. And Lord, lead us in the right way, Father. I pray, God, that we'd have homes that'll be pleasing to you, Father, and that'll be in line and in order with your word. And God, the stronger the homes of our church are, the stronger our church will be. And Father, we want to be a church that pleases you, God. If there be any odd, if there be anything, Lord, between a husband and wife, Lord, between a church, God, I pray, Lord, that we'd get that thing right with you, Lord. And Father, that you'd be pleased with everything. And Father, again, thank you for being good to us, Lord. I pray you be with those prayer requests we mentioned earlier, our missionaries. God, be with our nursing home service this Sunday. Father, I pray that you'll be lifted up, God, and exalted, Father. I pray for Brother Floyd that'll be preaching, Lord. I pray, God, that you'll help him, Lord. And God, he's been a faithful saint for a long time, God. I'm thankful for it, Lord. I pray, God, you'd use him this week. Father, I pray that our church would be an encouragement, a blessing to him. And again, thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.